Blog Talk Radio.
Giving you information you'll want to know, speaking on issues affecting us all, and music for the soul.
Yeah.
It's the Bobby Eaton Show.
Bobby.
It's the Bobby Eaton Show.
Bobby.
It's the Bobby Eaton Show.
Bobby.
It's the Bobby Eaton Show.
Hello, world. Good afternoon, good evening, good morning, or wherever you're at on the globe. Hey, and welcome to the Bobby Eaton Show. This is where we tell our stories our way, and that's what we do right here, here in Tulsa, Oklahoma, home of Black Wall Street. And also, my co-host is in here, Lindsay Corbett. How are we doing, Lindsay?
We're doing good. We're doing good.
Great. How was your day?
It was pretty chill. I literally did a lot of running errands and...
Oh, running around, huh?
Chilling, yes.
Chilling, huh?
Yes.
You got that energy to do that, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm privileged
yeah.
to be able to do that when
right.
I feel like it.
Right, right, mm-hmm. right. Well, we got a great show going on tonight. We're going to be talking with... soccer player extraordinaire, mm-hmm. Mylon Roberts, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he's going to be here. He's in the studio, and we're going to be chopping it up, talking about various different things about him and his career.
Awesome.
And if you need to have someone tune in, all they need to do is dial the number 646-716-5525, and don't forget to press that one button if you want to talk to him on the air. That's what's going to be going on in just a few minutes. Hey, it's warm outside.
It is.
Here in Tulsa.
Yeah, today we're about, I think the high is 80.
Ooh, look out now.
Around the same tomorrow, high of 76. It's supposed to rain on Wednesday, though.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, a couple of showers. But then we're back into decent weather on Thursday, and next week we'll be back in our 80s.
Okay, so mm-hmm. temperature's starting to change, huh?
Yes, and I'm excited about it.
Yeah, me too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The wind, though.
Yeah.
The wind will kill you. The pollen.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
Other than that, we're okay.
Going on. I've been out there on, guess what? I've been out there on a bicycle.
Really?
Yeah, me. I was out there riding. Got my little bike together, trying to get some exercise in, trying to bring this little, well, what they say, this
your,
belly on
your
down.
Midsection.
My midsection
mm-hmm.
on down and stuff like that. But, hey, it felt good, too.
I've been running, so.
Oh, you've been running?
I have. Oh. I like to run outside when it's warm enough. So
yeah.
Usually like a mile and a half a day.
When are you running? The mornings, the evening, afternoon?
It depends
what?
On the weather. So if it's warm enough, like 60 in the morning, then I prefer to run in the morning. But if
okay.
if it's too cold, I'll wait till I get home.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
So you've just been running, huh?
Yeah.
Out there getting it.
Yeah. Palms, it's exercise and it's good for your mind. So why not?
Yeah, clear it all out.
Mm-hmm.
Well, hey, we're going to have some fun here in a minute. We're going to get deep into a conversation. And we want you guys to keep in mind that we're located at 1533 North Norfolk here in Tulsa, Oklahoma. And if you need to reach us, you can reach us by dialing the number 832-443-9499. Again, that number is 832-443-9499. And what's the call letters for the station, Lindsay? Can you tell them?
/WFunk.
Trying to get paid, take money, cash checks. You see the set, that's Lash, that's Dex. Young C, Young Shorty, Milcaveli. White bricks, True Religion, on the telly, it's me. Wiz got the house full of freaks. That's why I haven't been around for a week. I'm getting pounds in my sleep. I'm at the top of the mountain, it's peak. Bring it back before the villain. I had a life, real talk, True Religion. It's in the blood, in the jeans, in the stitching. Walked in, no weapon, made a killing. Tongue kissing, pretty women. New iPhone, cause I'm done with all the bitching. trying to be in my position. Keep my shades on because they're trying to see the vision.
Tell me, bad man, see, I need your love. See, I need your love. Me need you close to me. Me tell I say me, oh, stay on the road. Bad energy, stay far away. Make it far away. Just give me love for the night. Give me love for the night. Yeah, we do time.
Breakfast in bed on the plane. I could never complain. I was walking with the limp, had the cane. Deck said greatness and nothing was the same. Now we're set for life. I saw the turn up button and I pressed it twice. You heard I'm in the club, then my best advice is put your shoes on and come and get your wife. Cause we've been having sex just for exercise. Every night men are doing sex aside. She look into my eyes, now she's mesmerized.
She tell me, bad man, see I need your love. See I need your love. Me need you close to me, me tell I say me, oh, stay on the road, bad energy, stay far away, make you stay far away, just give me love for the night, give me love for the night, yeah, waste no time.
Hey, they better get used to the flex, African man, you see the jewels on my neck, black James Bond, that's the new silhouette, you see me in the street and I was moving correct, been running around trying to do the home run, left that girl, she was no fun, I tie one. Smoke one, big chief skeptic, and I answer to no one. Counting my blessings, I'm feeling special. Bird's eye view, SK level. Get in the shack when I dance with the devil. Young fella could see the return of the rebel. I told her I need some space. Real busybody, never stay in one place. And she knows I got more tricks under my sleeve. That's why she never wants me to leave.
She tell me, bad man, see I need your love. See I need your love. Me need you close to me. Me, you stay on the road, bad energy, stay far away. Make you stay far away. Just give me love for the night, give me love for the night, yeah, waste no time.
Oh, yeah, all right, that was a pretty good one right there. Milan Roberts. How we doing, man? Welcome to the show, and glad to have you. And let's start from the beginning. Let me get myself together right here because, you know, we tell our stories our way over here. Let me get some things together. Where you from, man? Okay.
Man, that's a question I always have.
Where were you born and raised?
There you go. I was born and raised in Freetown, Sierra Leone. Yeah, in West Africa.
West Africa.
Yeah.
Oh, man, that must have been fun and exciting to grow up over in Africa, man.
Yeah.
Now, is that, where is that located? It's located on the bottom of Africa, isn't it? Is it a tropical area or not?
Yes. Yes. Actually, from what I remember, I think we have mountains, plateaus.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, close to water.
So your parents were there, right?
Yeah, my dad and I left.
Mom,
I think all of my immediate family are out, but I still, of course, have family.
Still there?
Yeah, I still got family, but my immediate family.
Mm-hmm. So do you ever go back to visit? Have you been back to visit?
No, I haven't. I haven't.
But, okay. You must have been young when you left.
Yes, I was about 8 or 9 when I left.
8 or 9 years old when you left. So you got brothers and sisters or family members or just you?
Yes, the eldest of 4. I got a little sister and 2 younger brothers.
Right. Okay.
And where are they at?
Yeah, where are they located?
They are actually in Sydney, Australia.
They're in Australia, Sydney.
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
So tell us what it was like growing up with your father. Where did you all move to after you left Sierra Leone?
Yeah, my dad and I, we moved to Edmonton, Alberta, in Canada,
mm-hmm.
September of 2001, around that time. Yeah.
In Canada?
In Canada, yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So was it there an adjustment for you?
Big adjustment. I mean, definitely a big culture shock.
Yeah, I know it would be.
The weather was nothing I'd ever experience in my life.
It was cold, huh?
Yeah. I mean, I thought it was a punishment.
Oh, boy. It was a punishment, huh?
Yeah, but you know.
So how cold does the weather get up that way?
Okay, I think here we work with Fahrenheit. So let me see. I don't think it's probably anything you've experienced maybe before.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely, maybe not Lindsay.
Well, I've been up in Chicago and I know.
Oh, that's nothing.
Really? No, that's nothing. Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
That's as far north
I think,
man,
we get to, like, we have a windshield. So I don't know if you ever heard
Windshield factor. Yeah.
That's when it gives you almost like a concussion. That's what it feels like sometimes.
Oh, wow.
That's
so
cool.
Yeah, it gets to about close to minus 30 Celsius.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't even know what that is in Fahrenheit.
Yeah,
I think that might be like minus.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's kind of like some Alaska weather or something, isn't it?
Yeah, it's terrible.
Terrible. So what do? I mean, it's that cold. You're just on the inside, right?
Yeah, I mean,
you can't do nothing, but life is on the inside, right?
Basically. Yeah, yeah. You try to keep busy. Believe it or not, people still commute outside. A lot of snow, a lot of traffic, you know, because of the weather and stuff like that.
But, always shoveling snow.
Huh? Yeah, always. Yeah, I mean, we get quite a bit of snow in Edmonton, in Alberta, I should say. But it's cold. I mean, but you do what you can. Eventually, you get used to it.
So when is the warm season for there?
In the summer, I think.
Summer?
It starts to get a bit warmer around this time.
What is that, 40 degrees? Is that warm?
No, it gets to, I think, you know, actually, we've been lucky lately.
Yeah.
And it's crazy because I haven't been home in the summer in last 3 years or so. But I think it gets to about 80s if we're lucky. Maybe
it'll now. Get to 80 degrees?
Yeah, yeah, it gets there.
My goodness.
But, you know, it gets a bit windy. But I guess
from one extreme to another, huh?
Yeah, basically, it's very unpredictable, actually.
So when you came to Canada, did you start playing soccer there? Were you playing it before you got there?
I was playing before. I mean, that's all I've known my whole life. Play since I was little. I think I started.
You say little? How old were you
when I first started to play?
Mm-hmm.
I think that's actually what helped me to walk. Yeah.
Wow. You've been playing that long, huh?
That long, yeah. I mean, you can never really take me away from the ball when I was a baby. No.
You just had to do it, huh?
Yeah, I think it was always something for me.
Mm-hmm.
Here we are now. Yeah.
Yeah, that soccer is an international sport. You know, I've known that by traveling around the globe and being in different places. Everybody plays soccer all over the globe.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and it's become popular here in the U.S., starting to grow. Here in the U.S. I mean, we got football and basketball and stuff like that, but soccer has really grown.
Yeah, it's like from the first time I moved, just even in my city, we've always had like a good culture in Edmonton.
Mm-hmm.
We had Edmonton Drillers, and then FC Edmonton came along.
Mm-hmm.
They went away. They came back.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Vancouver, Toronto.
My question to you is, you were going to school in Canada?
Yes.
Going to school, high school?
Yeah, I went to high school.
High school right there.
Yes.
And then you were playing soccer at the school, right?
Yeah, I played in high school, yes.
In high school. And when you graduated, did you go off to college or something?
Yeah.
How did that work, man?
I went to University of, not University, actually, Northern Alberta Institute of Technology. It's called NAIT.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
A technical school.
Yes, and I went on a scholarship.
What were you taking up? What were your classes? What were you taking?
I wanted to take business.
Business?
That's what I wanted to take was because I didn't really get to finish.
Mm.
Yeah, I didn't get to finish, but I was enrolled for a whole semester and finished the second. And, but because of soccer, I had to kind of put that on pause and
soccer on hold, huh?
Yeah, and I was fortunate enough to I was asked on trial to go with the Academy FC Edmonton at the time, and I had a week, 2 weeks trial, and you know, really fell back in love with the game, I ended up signing with FC Edmonton around 2012-2013.
Up in Canada?
Yes, in Canada.
So was that a walk-on, a try? You just tried out? Or
yeah,
you mean,
it was a trial. I mean, my college coach, actually, he ended up getting the academy job, the reserve team.
Mm-hmm.
So I knew him very well. And after 6 months or so,
you befriended him. You guys became friends, and he said, "Hey, man, I know I'm gonna hook you up on this deal."
Yeah.
Basically, something like that. Okay, on this deal, and you went on, you tried out, and they like what you were doing. Your skill set was at a certain level, and so.
Yes, and I was in Canada in Edmonton, and I was actually too old at the time.
Too old?
Yeah, I was too old because they were looking for kids that were born around 96,
oh, wow.
95, and I was born 92.
Mm-hmm.
So I had, I knew some people in the academy and stuff like that. And it was a Dutch system, so they wanted youth and to promote them to the first team and
mm-hmm.
develop them. And
so you were one of the seniors there, one of the older guys.
I was one of the older guys, huh? Yeah.
Mm.
I was one of the old
heads. How did that work out? You and some of the younger guys.
Yeah, I mean, just like any professional environment, you have to work together. And, I think I brought a different type of experience,
mm-hmm.
especially if I'd already gone to school and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So,
At that school, when you were there any people of color?
Yes. Yeah, very diverse.
Very diverse?
Yeah, we had people from different parts of the world. We had a few Brazilians and some Italian guys and a few African guys. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
very diverse.
You befriended a lot of everybody, huh?
Of course. I mean, and Edmonton, I think, is probably one of the most diverse cities in Canada, next to, of course, Toronto.
Oh, really?
Stuff like that. So, mm-hmm. that, for me, fortunately, that was never really a big issue.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it was very
good. Good. You, no racism or nothing you faced with or anything like that.
Not that I can remember.
That you can remember up in Canada.
Up in Canada, no, really, not that I can remember.
You hadn't made it to the United States yet. Uh-huh.
Yeah, I mean, we'll get there.
Yeah.
So, how long were you there before you made it to the United States?
The first time I went to the States, where was it? I want to say it was Florida.
Mm-hmm.
I want to say it was Florida. I might have been Tampa Bay.
Okay.
I think that may have been one of the first times I've been to the States. Yeah. That would have been 2013 or 2014.
Okay. And were you visiting or were you here to play?
It was work. It was play. So usually those trips are 2 or 3 days.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, 3 days, 2 nights. Just a quick in, do the job, and back home.
Mm-hmm.
So you played in Canada for how long?
I signed in 2013 and I played for FC Edmonton for a few years. I was loaned out to Ottawa, which is also...
You say loaned out?
Yes, loaned out.
Okay. What does that mean, loaned out?
That means,
they just borrowed you for a minute?
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah, they borrowed me for the remainder of the season, which was about 4 or 5 months.
Mm-hmm.
And when the season was done, then you get to, if you like, you can return back to your parent club or negotiate a new contract. And that was 2016. After that season, I actually I left and I joined a different club.
Okay.
In the United States.
Here in the States?
Yes.
What did you join? Did you go?
Richmond Kickers in Richmond, Virginia.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Richmond Kickers.
That's right. Very old, but very traditional club. One of the first clubs, actually, in North America.
Mm-hmm. So how did you get with them? Do you have to have an agent?
Yes, of course.
Got to have an agent, right?
Yeah.
An agent looks out for your career and gets in touch with who he needs to get in touch with to get you moving, right?
Yes.
Wow.
Yes, and, I've been with him for almost 4 or 5 years now.
Your agent?
Yes.
Same guy doing the same thing?
Same guy, yeah, doing the same thing.
So when you were in Virginia, I know that had to be a big difference from being in Canada,
Yes.
And I bet you that culturally things changed for you.
Yes, I've always, it's very easy to judge American culture from a distance. And before traveling to the States, I would say, Americans like this, Americans like that. When you actually live somewhere for a long time, month, 2 months, or a year, like I usually do,
mm-hmm.
then you really get to see the culture and how people are, and it changes your perspective on a lot of things.
So what's changed with your perspective since you've been engulfed in American culture? Do you think it's for the better or for the worse?
I think it's for the better. I mean, education is important for me anyways. I think there are different ways of learning, not just in school, but the experience of living somewhere else and talking to different people, meeting different people.
Different foods.
Different foods and stuff like that. See how people go about their business and, how people think and why they do things. And, you know, till today I'm still learning. But that's definitely changed my life. And, especially being from Africa and, you know, the culture stayed inside the house, you know. Even though I lived in Canada, I had African friends, and, you know, at home, I still tried to speak my native tongue with my mom, with my uncles, aunties, and my friends and stuff. But living in America, it's like, wow, these are different type of black people. Even compared to Canadians, different type of black people.
So what's the difference? What do you feel like the difference is? Explain it. Because we tell our stories our way here. It don't even matter how, you know. So don't feel like you know, just go ahead and just say what you feel.
Yeah.
What's the difference? What do you feel?
Compared to Canadians or Africans?
Period.
Let's start with Africans.
Okay.
Let's start
with Africans.
Right. Okay. Let's start with Africans.
Oh, man. That's a tough one.
Well, you know, I've witnessed this, a lot of kind of division, you know, between the cultures, even though we're all in the same pot. You know, but a little bit different culturally, you know, and there's been instances where some black Americans feel better than Africans, and some Africans feel better than black Americans, and it brings about that division right there.
Yeah.
And, you know.
And, you know, I've never really understood that until...
Culturally?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I've never really understood why, but I can kind of see it now. I mean...
But, you know... We all come from Africa.
Yeah.
That's the mother country.
That's exactly the homeland.
And you would think that we would be able to all just get along, you know. But I think when people are uneducated and don't know their culture and their histories and where the melanin had been changed, you know, to us over here in America who've been born and raised here, because over here in America, we like a bouquet of flowers. You know, different shades, different colors, and we thrive for some of us who have culture and consciousness, wish that we had the melanin, the original melanin that was kind of destroyed through slavery and through back in those days and stuff. So I know you coming from the mother country, basically, parents engulfed in it, you know it, you feel, you know, that. I know it can be kind of a challenge for you to be in here in the United States sometime and see and hear certain stuff.
Yeah. I mean, that's like you're saying, like the melanin, to the trained eye, you can actually see the difference between Black American and African.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah. You can see it, before you even open your mouth. I can say, this guy, sometimes maybe you get caught off guard, but, I mean, for me, I was, fortunate, and I grew up there. Mom and dad are both from Sierra Leone, both born and raised there. So you come to America and you see the people that have been stripped of that, unfortunately, you know, first, second, third, you know, and they don't actually know where they're from in Africa. You can say, okay, well, I can look at you and say, you know what, you look almost like, I feel like you may have been from West Africa. You're a little bit more light skinned. You have different futuristics. You might be from East Africa and things like that. And and then you ask him, you say, hey, where are you from originally? And they tell you from the South, or I don't know.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And that's it's heartbreaking. It's heartbreaking. Things come to that point. But
do you feel like a lot of the culture, because I deal with this, we talk about these topics on the show, when it comes to melanin and different shades. I mean, I'm a light-skinned brother, you know, but I feel like I'm just as black as any other brother, you know, in my heart and in
me
my
too.
Spirit.
Me
Don't
too.
You feel that way?
Yes.
More conscious than some darker-skinned brothers.
Yeah.
And I feel like we get a lot of crap for that, too. I feel like we get a lot of crap for that.
We get a lot of flack for it.
It's envy. It's envy, you know.
Is that what it is?
Yeah, I think sometimes that's what it is, because if you go back home, if you go back to Africa, some places, the women, and sometimes the men in the Caribbean too, they actually bleach. because
yeah, I know.
Yeah,
they're bleaching their skin because they want to be light skin. Putting blue eye contacts in and bleaching their skin.
I don't understand that either.
I've seen it.
In a way, maybe it's a little bit of self-hate, and it's what we've been, what we've seen on social media.
Exactly.
And, you know, and say, hey, you need to be like this to be beautiful, to be this and that.
A couple of weeks ago, I got into it with a lady who I know, and she said, hey, Bobby, how you doing? She come up there, and she had these blue eye contacts in her eyes, blue eyes. And I said, what you doing with them blue eyes? And, what you doing? She said, what you doing with them hazel eyes? I said, I'm born with these.
These are mine.
You know, these are mine. You had to go buy those. She got upset with me because, but at the same time, I think when you don't know your culture or you don't understand why you are who you are, then you're going to have a, there's a problem.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It still goes on.
Yeah.
You'll see it. People will go bleach their skin because they feel.
They want to be white.
Yeah. Or at least they want more fair skin, I guess, the different tone.
What's the difference?
I mean, you come to America, and I've learned to realize that now it doesn't matter if you light skin or you dark skin, you're black.
You're black.
You're black. Right?
Yeah, because see, racism is very strong here in America. You know, I don't know about parts of Africa. I know it still exists even in Africa.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's real strong here in America.
Have you experienced any racism as an African here?
The first time I ever experienced. That I can recall any type of racism actually was, and it wasn't even anything direct. Mm-hmm. It was, you could feel it really. You could feel the hostility, and it happened to be in Florida.
Okay.
And walking down the street, and you see a woman cross the street, and I'm thinking, I shoulder check behind me. I said, what's going on? How come she's crossing the street?
She's getting away from you, huh?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I think she walked past me, and then she ended up crossing the street again. I'm saying, wow, like she must have felt very uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
And she doesn't know who I am. I don't know who she is. I didn't think I looked threatening in any way.
Mm-hmm.
But because of, like I said, media and maybe her experience, maybe she's had one bad experience. And,
or just her upbringing, possibly.
Maybe. Mm-hmm. And whichever it was. And it was confusing to me because, like I said, I was fortunate enough and I didn't really have to experience things like that back in Canada and definitely not in back home.
Yeah. Really see, I'm petty. So
okay.
I tend to do those things to them that they do to me. So I'm the person that will cross the street if I see a white man, like, oh, no, or...
Mm-hmm.
If I see someone who's in the store and they look like they're staring at me, then I'll kind of walk around them, make sure they're not still in, kind of like look over their shoulder just because I feel like this every day.
Mm-hmm.
And you are the one to make me uncomfortable. So sometimes you need to sell it too.
Mm-hmm. Because sometime me and my dad and my son went out to a restaurant the other day and we went for breakfast and, there was a bunch of white people sitting in the booth next to us, about four or five of them.
Mm-hmm.
And so they set us down in the booth, and they were older white people. And you could see racism on them. You could just see. I mean, it was just pouring off of them. And I was talking to my dad, and I say, they looking at us. They were just staring. And then when I turn over and look at them, they turn their heads.
Mm-hmm.
They wouldn't look. And then I turn back off, talk to them again. Then they start looking at us again. I could see that racism and that hatred. In other words, like, what those niggers doing over here, sitting over here next to us? That's what I felt.
Mm-hmm.
So I turned around and started looking at them.
Yeah.
I just started looking at them. And I told my dad, and he turned around and started looking at them too. And we just started looking at me. They started eating then, and just like they were like that.
Yeah. And,
racism.
It's sad. It's sad to, that obviously you've had to experience that.
Oh, man.
Here in, I know, Oklahoma, Virginia, it might be a trend for me everywhere I've ended up. I kind of see it.
Yeah.
It's everywhere.
Yeah, it is. And
it's just more evident, more prevalent. in certain states more than it is other states.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, because Oklahoma, boy, we got it going on right here.
Yeah, that's right here. You know, and mm-hmm. and you know, you can feel it
mm-hmm.
and you can see it. I haven't really ran into much trouble mm-hmm. out here. I mm-hmm. try to
stay low. If you're in a certain position, you know, and have a certain title,
mm-hmm.
and people know that something about you, mm-hmm. you'll gain a little bit more respect.
Correct.
You know, than the average blowjo or mm-hmm. someone who's just regular.
Mm-hmm.
You got a little name for yourself. They're going to, you know.
They'll treat you a little differently.
A little bit different.
At least to your face.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, you see, and you know what? That's actually what I like about America.
Mm-hmm.
Because if someone doesn't like you, a lot of the times, you know.
Well,
you know, it,
with
from my experience, anyway.
With us, I feel like that's true. With Black people, like, we're going to say it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they'll show it, which to me is different. It's cowardly. But we'll say it. We're more likely to tell you if we feel some type of way or ask questions. I don't feel like they do the same thing. I feel like, especially in a corporate environment, they tend to overcompensate with kindness, and then you'll find out 5 months later that they hate you
mm-hmm.
and that everything that you're doing shouldn't be done the way that you do it. But with us, we're a little bit more open and honest.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it's something that has to do with our culture, but I don't know. If you're only looking at the way that they look at you, like eye to eye, then yes. But if you start having conversations, it's going to come out.
Yeah.
It's gonna come out.
In terms of even body language, like I might maybe go somewhere and I'm like, you know, I don't think this person is really keen on being my friend or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
But then some places it's like you're saying, they're really nice to your face, you know, this and that. And then next thing you know, then you really find out how they really feel about you. And I've experienced that elsewhere in different places in the world. But here in America, it's like sometimes you can kind of tell. It's really obvious, like the body language and, you know, how people behave. And
yeah.
I almost prefer that because I know what to expect.
Yeah.
I know what to expect.
Yeah. Yeah. I'd rather have somebody who's really racist just be faced. Just
yeah.
come on with it, you know, rather than someone hiding
myself.
It in the background.
Exactly.
You know, so that's you can run into that too. You know, you just be careful. Depends on the area you're at and where you're going and your environment, you know, and where you're at. So
mm-hmm.
and who you're hanging out with. So.
What time of day.
Time of day. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And then one thing I have to look out when it comes to Caucasian people is when they're getting too friendly. You know, too friendly can be kind of let me check them out because they may have an ulterior motive to become my friend,
mm-hmm.
you know, so, and I have to, most people, period, I have to do I call it a test, you know, mm-hmm. I got to test your connection to me, you know,
mm-hmm.
to make sure we're connected before I open up and give you what I need for you to have.
And why do you think that is?
Well, I think it is because I understand the price that was paid here in America
mm-hmm.
on the backs of Black people, you know, because if it wasn't for Black people built this country, you know, and we don't get enough acknowledgement for what we did here in this country, you know, and I understand that I honor my forefathers before me. Like I said, there's a reason I'm light-skinned with hazel eyes. You know, I understand that during slave times, they went into the slave quarters and got with Miss Kizzy, you know, and a slave master took advantage of her anytime he wanted to.
Mm-hmm.
And so the melanin got changed, you know, and it got changed. And, you know, even like the White House, we built the White House. You know, that we talk about so often. We've done so many accomplishments and we've invented so much here. You know, there's nothing greater than a Black man on the planet.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you really look at it, we've invented everything, math, everything, you know, science, all of that. But we've never gotten the credit that we deserve by certain races of people.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
so that's why you always question.
That's why I always question. You know, I got the question, and I think everybody should possibly sometimes question the motives.
I'm a skeptic myself.
You know, because sometimes some Caucasian people will say, "Well, I got a black friend." You know,
my best friend is black.
You know, right?
That is my least favorite sentence ever.
Yeah, my best friend is black.
I'm not racist. My best friend's black. Uh-huh. Really? Is that what that means?
My brother married a black woman. You know what I mean? They have black children. You know, or something like that.
Do you think maybe it's experiences that has brought you to this stage? You know what I mean? Like for me personally, I've traveled. You know, I've been different places in the world. I have you know, different types of friends.
Right.
And like I said, like I've been so grateful to live here in America to really see it like this and have these conversations.
Mm-hmm.
And because for me growing up, I never experienced anything like
this. But go to Mississippi. Go to Alabama. Go down.
Spend some time down
near Jacksonville.
And you know what? And I think
in the hood.
And yeah,
you know,
and I think
it's gonna be different.
Yeah,
culturally different for you.
Yeah, yeah, of course, of course.
And certain places
where,
are gonna be different.
And the biggest thing I've noticed here is there's lots of tension.
Oh,
and
sure.
It's not a secret.
Right.
Yeah, you can like I said, you can feel the hostility, and you can see it's like, wow, it's like this is predominantly white and this is predominantly black. It's
right.
Like, I wasn't. You've
never been
like
exposed
that.
To
I've
that
never
like
been
that,
exposed
right?
To that. So it's like I never even, you know, and I went to one of the most diverse schools, you know, and it was like, it was crazy to me, like living here and seeing all that stuff. I'm just like, you know, and then of course you learn the history, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, like information and education is important because a lot of it is ignorance. You know, people don't know. You know, and
it is ignorance.
And yeah, it is ignorance, and it can be bliss, but at the same time, people need to be educated. That's why, for me, to an extent, I can't be bothered too much about stuff like that. If someone comes and says this and that to me, I'm like, you know what? You don't know me individually. You don't, you know?
Because people will prejudge it based upon what they see rather than what
they know. And sadly, that's what it's
come
down to and stuff like that.
Yeah, and we don't need that. You know, we're trying to overcome those obstacles, but we're faced with them every day because there's ignorance out there.
Too much.
You know, and it's not enough of us as a people that are conscious enough to see between the lines.
No.
Because, you know, one thing, we're quick to sell out. You know, in a lot of areas, you know, somebody come with us with a good job or some money or something like that, we'll sell out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, instead of keeping firm to our belief systems and being conscious, you know, sell out, forget where you come from, forget where you were born and raised, and don't think nothing of it. And you going up the ladder and you get you a big old house and a nice car and all of this good stuff. You're making six figures a year. And hey, I'm living. I'm $2 past bus fare, you know. So that's my favorite. I say it all the time. I'm $2 past bus fare, and I have arrived.
Mm-hmm.
And see, when we get like that, we forget those who paved the way, who sacrificed their lives so we can get what we got.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and we're the only race that I know that do that, because you got other races, I mean, on the rise, and Asians on the rise, and everything, because we're consumers.
Yes.
Think about it. Everything we got goes out.
Yeah.
We got to start bringing stuff in.
Yes. And I think I think there tend to be, maybe I should use a better word, but like a civil war. It seems like we're kind of knocking each other down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Amongst ourselves.
Yeah, we really are. And I don't understand. I don't know.
It's education, man.
It's got to be, because it's got to be. That's the only thing I can think of.
And you got to start with the babies. You got to start with our young and our youth and get with them. I was over at McLean High School today talking to a couple of students over there and watching how things, how kids interact with each other. And it's a totally different animal, you know, than what it was when I was going to school. The respect level is even different. I've seen young guys around there with more beard than me, you know. So,
grown men.
Yeah, I'm like, grown men, way full beards, and girls look fully developed. And I said, wait a minute, this is, you know, school, you know. So it's a new day and a new time and a new age.
Yeah.
And we have to adjust to the time.
We do.
you know.
I think the difference in other ethnicities and races and us as African Americans is understanding your heritage and your culture. Our culture was taken away. So now we have developed, you know, which we talked about, we've developed a different type of culture, like, since we've been here in America. But I mean, it's still young. It is. And a lot of who we are and what we identify as comes from slavery and slave masters and all of that. So there is an aspect of our culture that is their culture. And that's what gives us the same mentality that they have when it comes to one up in the next person, crabs in a barrel, that kind of thing. So when, okay, so when a Hispanic comes over and they work together and they live in a house together until they can buy another house, and then they buy a car, and they do the same thing in America to get ahead as they did in Spain, Mexico, wherever they may come from. Us, we don't have anything to go by. Everything was stripped from us. So we do what we see. So even if our strength isn't technical writing, if that's all we've seen, then that's what we feel like we have to be good at in order to be successful in America. Other ethnicities, they don't necessarily do that. They follow the same traditions and it helps them to succeed. But us, we follow their traditions, and that doesn't always work for us. In some instances, I feel like it does, but in others, it doesn't. And to me, that's how we ended up where we are. And that's why it's so difficult for us to help one another to further advance the culture.
Yeah, it's so sad when we have black wealth in this country. We got black people who got money. It's a few Oprah Winfrey's and LeBron James's around who actually have money, who could turn a community around if they just got involved. And I mean, if you got $30 million, you know, is it going to kill you to take five of it and go invest in your community? You know, I'm just saying that small amount, you know, but we want to go out and get that big house with all them fancy cars and all of that material stuff and not reinvest into our communities, go back in the hood and restore a strip center or something like Nipsey Hussle did, you know, and that type of economic development and stuff. It puzzles me that we don't do that kind of stuff. Because I think a lot of times, systematically, we're controlled certain things. And when you go against the grain, then that's kind of, you can't. Sure, I wouldn't do that. You don't invest in that right there. I wouldn't go over in that hood and then buy that strip center over there and remodel it. You know?
Yeah.
That's what we're told.
Yeah.
And
it comes down to money, like you're saying. I think athletes, musicians, you know, the status, they have this platform where they can do things like this. And a lot of my role models or people that I really envy, they really come and do their best for these situations. Like you said, Nipsey Hussle. I didn't know much about Nipsey Hussle until just recently.
Right.
You know, and then I go back and I read here and I see this and I'm like, wow, this guy's actually, you know,
community oriented.
Exactly. You know, for the culture. Right. But something happens like this.
Yeah, you know, and sometimes it takes somebody to die.
Yeah.
To get recognized for the worth and the things that they've invested in.
And it goes back to what you're saying. It's like, how come LeBron James doesn't do it? Oprah doesn't do it? I think sometimes it might be fear.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, I know LeBron does it often.
Yeah,
you
know, of course.
Well,
of course.
LeBron does. Yeah, he's one of the ones who do.
The big one for me, you know, I know Americans that really love basketball. I think when you think of basketball, you think of, other than LeBron, Kobe Bryant, all these guys, you think of Michael Jordan.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm thinking, wait, I'm sure maybe Michael does a few things.
And we don't know, though.
He does a few, yeah.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is, how come Michael didn't really sacrifice like he did, like Kaepernick, you know, all these other guys?
Oh,
and I'm saying,
I love Kaepernick.
I'm saying,
now.
And you know, and the one thing I've noticed about Black Americans, like Jordan, the shoes.
It's they'll kill for them.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying, right? Mm-hmm. And the thing is, it's not like Michael Jordan doesn't know this. But how come
We've talked about that before.
The solution. Yeah.
It's your shoe with your name on it, and people are killing themselves by your brand, and you don't come out and say nothing.
Exactly, right?
You and, don't say nothing.
Yeah, and I think he's been called out a few times. And
yeah,
still
don't say nothing.
That's what I'm saying, and it's and I think
he could.
It might be fear, you know. It might be fear.
Fear of.
Fear of what?
Well, I don't know.
I'm trying to figure out what kind of consequences. If he came out and said, "Hey, I want you guys to stop killing yourself over my brand shoes." You know, we need to stop that. You know, you guys got to slow that down and blah, blah, blah.
Well, I think we can we can go back to history. MLK.
Yeah.
You know, people like that. What ends up happening when someone wants to start a movement? You know what I mean?
Somebody end up getting shot or something.
It's something, some kind of conspiracy, something. And, you know, the media is so powerful.
But you got to stand for something or you'll fall for anything.
Yeah, it's true. You know, I believe.
I would
rather
get shot for standing for righteousness and being right with my people, and I'm all this money. You know, if I had to die for standing for what's right, I'm willing to die.
Yeah, there's not very many of us out there.
Yeah,
no,
it comes from experience.
Right? And like you said, there are people that are not conscious and they don't see it.
They'll sell out for the money.
Exactly. And it might be the upbringing.
Somebody told me, they said, "Bobby, if somebody came through that door over here in this radio station and wanted to buy you out $2.5 million, would you sell it all?" My answer was no.
2.5 before
know,
or after tax.
$2.5 million is, for me, is not worth me giving up this place where my grandfather built.
Mm-hmm.
He's dead and gone. The civil rights movement started next door over here in the barber shop. So that wouldn't be enough. And no dollar amount could be enough for me to sell all of that and give away all that so I can go get a fancy car and a big old house.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because I believe that you can't sell out on everything. Not for money.
No.
That's just my thought. Now, some of y'all probably, "Hey, but he crazy. He better go on and get that money and run. He could get him another radio station."
Yeah, I mean,
but, you know.
You can't take it with you, right? You can't take it with you.
Like, that's the truth.
When
that's
the time
true.
Comes, you can't take it with you. So I think it's important to do as much as you can and leave behind as much as you can.
That's it.
Yeah.
In what way, though? Are we talking financially? Are we talking...
Well,
characteristics mentally?
Both or what?
Both. So, I mean, like the Nipsey Hussles and stuff like that, like people that are giving back, not just like LeBron is building schools because he wants these kids to go to school and educate themselves.
Mm-hmm.
You know, these kids that come from maybe unfortunate situations or communities with no education. You can go anywhere right now, any hood, let's say hood. And you can go ask them and say, "Hey, would you rather have a good education, maybe get a good chance to go to college, get a good job, do something with your life, help your family, or would you rather sit on the block here and sell some drugs?" I know what I would say, and I know what a lot of people would say, you know, but a lot of us don't have that opportunity, same privilege, I should say, right?
Of knowing the option,
yeah. Or even having the option. Like
yeah,
we
don't
have the
option. They have no option.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So it's like, and that's what I think it stems from. So people will look at you and say, "Ah, this kid, he's dumb. You know, he has maybe no dad at home. No, you know, no male figure, no role model. So of course, like he already has like a disadvantage. We have someone that has mom and dad at home. You know, they have no stress behind them, so they can focus on the schools and stuff. Like, don't worry about selling drugs. They don't have to worry about being a rapper to make money or be successful or being a professional athlete. They have options, you know, and some people, they don't. So it's like until that balance comes, unfortunately, things won't change. And
you have to have that balance.
Yeah.
You got to be educated and know, you know.
And if it's not in the home, then it needs to
not,
be in the community.
Right. Obviously,
exactly.
You've had some good home training.
Your
dad has probably put it in you. You got some good home training, you know.
Sometimes by force, yeah.
By force, yeah. You know, and you migrated and made your way here to Tulsa, Oklahoma.
Wow. all places.
You know what? When I came back here, somebody told me, they say, man, what crime did you commit? I said, what you mean? What crime? Man, you must have committed a crime to come back and move back home here to Tulsa, Oklahoma.
Tulsa, yeah.
And I was laughing, you know. It's fun. So that's, you know, I was just laughing. But there, we're growing here. You know, things are kind of changing a little bit. People mm-hmm. are coming a little bit more conscious.
Mm-hmm.
You guys' generation are stepping up to the plate as some of us old guys move out the way. And things are happening. Now, you're in Tulsa, Oklahoma. How did you get here in the first place?
Oh, man, how did I get here? You know what? We had my agent and I, we sat down. We spoke after the season. Actually, you know what? The coach, Mike Ncn, and he's actually Nigerian.
Okay.
Yeah, he's Nigerian. And
the coach?
The coach. Yeah,
where is he from?
The head coach, Nigeria.
The coach here in Tulsa, Oklahoma.
Here in Tulsa, Oklahoma.
The Tulsa Roughnecks.
The Tulsa Roughnecks head coach.
He's a Nigerian. Okay.
Yeah, and very good guy. And, you know, he grew up here, so he knew what it was like. And I think the team before us had, you know, if you go look at the team photos, I think I saw in 2014, and there was almost no color.
Wow.
Not at all, huh?
Not at all. And I'm just like, okay. I didn't know much about Tulsa. You know, I could be ignorant and say, oh, Tulsa, Oklahoma, places, you know, probably mm-hmm. no good, probably racist. And that's what you hear.
Mm-hmm.
You hear the negative side of it. But you do some research, you educate yourself. I think his plan was to change some of those things. I think last year, you know, there was a big improvement.
Mm-hmm.
But this year, a lot of the times, actually, when we travel together as a team, people look at us like, and they actually assume. They say, oh, you guys are a basketball team? Say,
oh, they think you're basketball
they think
team.
We
huh?
have a lot more color.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And you look at the team and you're like, you know, you see Nigerians, Ghanaians, people from Uruguay, Colombia, you know, different places in the world. And we don't actually have many Caucasian guys on the team.
It's not?
No, I think we got... I could count that's
so it's changed, huh?
Yeah, we have a few, and it's changed. And the big boss, the owner, and he knows, and he's very aware. He sat us down. He said, hey, listen, like, this is not by mistake. He gave the job, he entrusted Mike to say, hey, listen, I know you
recruit the best
exactly.
players, huh?
You go, you know, you make your Avengers, you pick your squad. And when I spoke with Mike in the offseason and stuff like that, because every week they'd announce this player getting signed, I'm saying, hey, man, like, what's going on here? Like, you're building a team here, and I'm starting to see the trend. And, he's done a very good job so far. He's a young coach. He's very ambitious. And, you know, thanks to Barry, the owner. And
yeah. So, when you move here, do they pay for your living expenses and all of that, or do you have to provide that for yourself, or how does that work?
That stuff is all sorted. Well, with the contracts. And
it's all in
like
the
that.
Contract?
Yeah, it's what you negotiate. Some players are different.
The apartment or something,
yeah,
or a
yeah,
place
but,
to stay, transportation or something.
Accommodation and stuff like that. Yeah, they sort it out.
It's all in your contract.
It's all in my contract.
So your agent makes sure that happens.
Hey, man, he's going to eat my money, right? He's going to work.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Don't work.
Yeah, but I had other options. I think I had an option to go to Vegas, Fresno, and you know, different situations. I could have gone back home, you know, play back in my city. I could have, you know, this and that. But something just really stuck out to me. And I didn't.
So you've been here in Tulsa how long?
I landed on the 26th or something.
January. Of January of this year?
Yeah, that's what
you just got here.
I just got here, so I'm still new.
Oh, man, you fresh off the press, huh?
That's,
okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Still trying to figure it out.
Trying to figure it out. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're still trying to figure out where to drive around, huh? Yeah, where to go, huh?
Currently I'm not driving. My roommate has a car. You know, take it to go grocery shopping or something like
that.
But
you guys go. He plays soccer too?
Yeah. In the apartment complex we live, I think majority of the players live there.
Okay, so you guys pop and know each other.
Yeah, I think we have maybe only three or four domestic guys that actually live here or grew up here.
Okay.
Yeah, and but the rest are from
it's a whole
parts of the world.
Okay, community.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Right there.
Just,
you guys hopped each other's apartments and stuff, man.
Hey, man.
Visit each other.
Can I go do some laundry?
Yeah, right.
You have milk?
Yeah, right. Yeah, yeah. The game is on over here.
Exactly.
Yeah, all the fellas, huh? Just,
yeah, yeah.
Hey, man.
We become a family because we're away from our families.
That's right.
You know,
right.
We're here grinding together for like 10 months, 11 months, and to a sense of brotherhood and stuff like that.
That's good, though.
Yeah, yeah.
You know. They can get along.
Different cultures, too, so it's like.
What about the girls, man?
The girls? Oh, man, we don't have time. We don't have
time.
You
got no
time
for all of
that,
huh? Man. I was just wondering.
The managers always tell you, said, the girls weaken your legs.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah.
Uh huh. Weaken your legs. Huh?
They weaken your legs. And when I was younger, I was like, what do you mean by that? And now,
Is it true, Finn? Yeah, right.
I don't know. I wouldn't know.
The girls weaken your legs.
The girls weaken your legs.
Legs don't become strong anymore. Huh?
No.
You got to have strong legs to play soccer.
You need discipline.
Yeah, discipline.
Yeah, you need discipline to be a professional athlete.
Yeah, you do. You guys work at it, got to go to the gym and all that?
Yes. You know, some guys will take care of that on their own, but I think it's for us, it's becoming mandatory now. You know, we train every day, we get one day off.
How often you travel? I mean, are you just
I've been to California more in the last 4 weeks than I have
to play a game, huh?
We were just in Fresno. We left.
You
guys
been down in Houston?
I've passed through Houston. But we haven't been there yet.
You haven't played down here.
We're
huh?
going down to Houston. I think Grand Valley, RGV area,
mm-hmm.
Reno.
Mm-hmm.
That's in, yeah.
Big schedule, huh?
Big schedule, yeah. We're going down to San Antonio, OKC.
How you like traveling, man?
You know, I like to get to the place quick. I like flying sometimes, but just the process sometimes is a bit much.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's flying. You guys fly most of the time, right?
Yeah, we have 17 away games, and we fly all of them but one.
Wow.
That's the one that's down the road, OKC. That's right.
Gotta go.
Yeah.
Then your next game that you're going flying out is what?
Next game we fly. I gotta look at the schedule.
Look at your schedule.
So when is your next home game?
Next home match. We got a nice little stretch here. We play, I think, on the 24th, Wednesday. Not this coming Wednesday, but the next Wednesday.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we'll be hosting, I think, Colorado.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Where you play your games at? Home games? Where are they located here in Tulsa?
One Oak Stadium, downtown.
Beautiful. Oh, downtown,
yeah,
One Oak.
Beautiful stadium.
Yeah. 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 On the inside of One Oak, huh?
Yeah.
You guys in there kicking that ball around, huh?
That's right.
Right. So kicking and kicking, huh? Yeah, running and kicking.
That's right.
But you got to have some agility and some skills to mess with that ball, man.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of stamina.
Stamina,
yeah,
most definitely.
The big thing people always say is like, why you play soccer? Why? It's a lot of running.
It's a lot of running, isn't it?
Yeah. It's even more running if you don't do it right. But yeah, it's a lot of running.
But it feels good when you get the ball in the goal. Huh?
Of course. I'm a defender, so I take pride in different things.
Okay.
You're more of a
defensive game, huh?
Yes. For me, it becomes more... Well, I guess physical, but tactical as well. You know?
Mm-hmm. How many men on the team?
Ooh, we got a big squad. I think we got about 26, 25, 26.
25, 26? How many men on the field at one time?
11 aside.
11 each side.
For as long as everyone is disciplined, yes. Mm-hmm. If you get sent off, then...
That's including the goalies, right?
Yeah, of course. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Usually, you know, let's say traditionally you play like a 4-4-2. So you have one keeper, four defenders, four midfielders, and two forwards.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Man, I bet you sometime, man, you get kicked in the shins and all of that, huh?
All the time.
All the time.
I do most of the kicking, but yeah, I get kicked too.
Yeah, I bet you that's painful too, huh?
Yeah. It's painful, but we have, you know, physiotherapy and people
kicked in the shins and kicked in the thighs even, right?
Yeah, it can happen.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I know, I've seen those games before.
Yeah, it gets physical. Man.
Yeah.
And people say, oh, soccer is...
Oh, man, it's physical. It's most definitely physical.
Yeah, a lot of collision. It's a lot of contact.
Yeah, you got to hit with that head too, right?
Yeah, especially me. I think I probably had the ball about, on average, at least 5 times a game. Yeah.
You got to know what you're doing when you're playing soccer.
It helps, yeah.
Yeah, helps to know the game, especially on your level right there.
Yeah.
When you are Who are some of your favorite soccer players? Who did you really just kind of like, man, that guy right there?
Oh, man. Growing up, Zinedine Zidane.
Okay.
Yeah, I really liked him. He makes you just want to you know, go outside, train, improve yourself. And, you know, he was the way he played the game was, like beautiful. It was like, I don't know, it's you can't even put it into words. It was just like...
Remarkable, huh?
Yeah. He was just floating on the field. He's just, you know, the most technical player, the most intelligent player. He just had so much flair and so much to him.
Charisma, huh?
Uh-huh. Big character as well, you know. He had an edge to him, but he was just such a classy footballer.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Anybody else in your family play? Are you the only one?
My little brother plays.
Oh, okay.
My sister, nah, she's not interested at all.
Not at all, huh?
No, my other brother, he played when he was younger, but no, he doesn't. Dad, I think he played a bit, but not really. Not like
okay, your dad played a little bit of soccer, huh?
Yeah, he's more of a scholar. He likes
education.
Yeah, he's,
that's good.
He's a teacher now, and
that's good.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I always had people around me that played and stuff like that too.
So, what's a daily routine for you? What do you normally do when you wake up in the morning? What time or what's a daily routine for you?
Well, luckily for me, I get to wake up and do what I want to do.
Okay.
And do what I love to do. So it's
you can wake up anytime you feel like waking up.
Unfortunately, no. No, I'm up 7:30.
Seven o'clock.
I'm ready for 8:30. I get to training around just about 5-10 minutes from the complex.
Now your training, that's something that you do on your own.
No, we train with the team, so get there.
Excuse me.
You know, we have get there
a certain time
before 9:45, mm-hmm. and I think we're on the pitch to train together at 9:45. So we have almost an hour to, you know, rehab and do what you need to do. The gym's there available for us. If you need a treatment, if you need to start early, if you need to do a gym session, whatever you need.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes we have meetings in the morning. You know, video sessions and and then usually we're out of there around 12:30, close to 1:00. If guys want to do extra, it's available. And it's a shift. It's a long day.
Long day, huh?
Yeah, and you get home.
What time does it normally end?
Yeah, I think today I got home around 2:00.
2:00.
Yeah.
That was a long day, huh?
Yeah, actually, no, 1:30 I got home.
Okay.
And it was a recovery day for some of us. And some guys had to train, and, you know, usually I get home and I have to nap, I have to sleep.
Mm-hmm.
You know, physically it's taxing, but mentally it takes a bit.
You got to get off and come home and lay down, go to bed. Huh?
Yeah, you got to get some food. Sometimes we eat together at, after training. But yeah, as the week gets on, it gets difficult, then we start to wind down. And then the big
toward
test,
the weekend?
Yeah, the big test is on the weekends. We play, hopefully we get a good result, man.
Tell us roughly, what's your wins and losses? How many? What's up?
I think we're 3-1-3.
3-1-3?
Yeah, we were top of the table going into this last weekend, but, you know, we didn't play too well this weekend.
So you tied up a game, huh?
Yeah, we tied our very first game and won away. We lost and we won 2 in a row. And then, yeah, but... we have a little break here to kind of start to rebuild again and hopefully get back to the
how many teams will you be competing against?
I think we're on the West. This is the West Coast, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we're on the West Western Conference. There's an Eastern Conference on the next side. We played 34 games, so we got, I think, how many teams on there?
Mm-hmm.
Then we got 16 or 17 teams on this side.
Okay.
Yeah.
Anybody real tough and you're like, man, we got to get ready for them.
Oh, man. Every week, to be honest, every week. And that's the thing about professional football is you can't.
You said professional football, huh?
That's a habit,
yeah.
Soccer, I guess.
Soccer, okay.
Yeah, I mean, everywhere else in the world, you say football.
Yeah.
And he
football,
says,
yeah. That's true.
Yeah.
Other countries say football, don't they?
Yeah.
Yeah, I know.
But
that's
no,
taken here.
Huh?
Yeah. But No, every week is a test, because no matter where you sit on the table, you still have to go out on the field and perform. You know, there are some teams like, okay, you know what, we should win this game, but things could change, right? Mm-hmm. Coming into this year, we were big, big underdogs. And I think that's been motivation for us. And, you know, the guys are committed to, you know, to change and to make the doubters believe that, hey, we have something special here. And we have a goal. And I think for as long as we stay focused, we'll definitely get there. It's still fairly early in the season. So we play seven. So we still got a lot of games left.
A lot of games left.
Yeah,
huh?
Like 27 or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully we get to all the way through to November. Yeah.
Okay, November.
Which is playoffs.
That's a long season, isn't it?
It's a long season, man.
My goodness.
That's why we have, 26 players.
Mm-hmm.
Injuries happen. Guys lose form. Guys mm-hmm. gain form. So.
Right. Do you start? Are you starting?
Currently, yes.
Yeah. And, that's a good thing, huh?
Yeah. I mean, there's pressure. Definitely.
Pressure.
But, it's a challenge every week to make sure.
And your position is called?
I'm a central defender. I'm a center half.
Yeah. Center half.
Yes. Okay. Center back, center half. Yeah.
So if you could do anything other than play soccer, what would it be?
Coach soccer.
Why is
you
that?
Would coach soccer, huh?
Yeah.
Okay.
Coach.
Okay.
Like I said,
that's a love for soccer.
Yeah. Just, I think all my role models growing up, you know, I've been coaches. Like my dad, the teacher, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. and stuff like that. So I've always been surrounded, and that's just, I think,
the
you
teaching
know, to,
mode, huh?
Of course. To an extent, it's, you know, as much as I've chased the dream to play, it's always kind of always say, hey, listen, this was for you.
Would you want to teach younger youth or just people your age?
All ages, really.
All ages?
Yeah. I've done quite a bit of coaching already.
Oh, okay.
I try to as much as I can in the off season. You know, I've coached as young as 3-4 year olds, which basically becomes like babysitting to them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I'd love to see that.
Junior, women's, men's. Yeah. It's challenging, but it's definitely rewarding. So, you know, it's a passion of mine.
Wow. Sure. That's great, man. That's great. Moving forward, so you're here in Tulsa, Oklahoma. You've been here for a few months.
Yes.
Just a few months. And have you been around town, going downtown and all down there in Blue Dome District and any of that down there?
I don't know where anything
is. You don't know where nothing is, huh?
Nothing. Thank goodness for maps. I mean, like I said, I don't mm-hmm. have a vehicle here, so I don't drive, so it's easy to stay home.
Mm-hmm.
I can tell you where everything is in my apartment, but I can't tell
you where you live, huh?
Yeah. But I don't know much. I know where the stadium is. I still don't know how to get there on my own. But I know one or two places, but I know how to get to training. I know how to get to the stadium.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
I know how to get to the grocery store. And but I mean, summer is coming. The weather is turning around.
Right, it's turning around.
Yeah,
you're gonna get out and walk and jog and all.
Yeah,
that.
Why not? I mean, see the city a bit
right.
and
go around and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Maybe Lindsay can show you around a little bit. Or
yeah.
Something like that. You know,
yeah.
She knows everything. The hot spots.
To the places that I do get out and go to.
Yeah. Yeah. By the way, where do you guys meet? Where do you meet?
That is.
Cafe.
Yeah.
What?
At a coffee shop.
Coffee shop, yeah. Mm-hmm. People meet at a coffee shop.
Yeah.
You know, and she told me about you. I said, wow, Tulsa Roughnecks. She said, it'd be a good interview. So we said, hey, boom, here we are.
Yeah.
She made it happen.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, yeah.
You gave me more information than she did. She was like, oh, yeah, there's a thing here.
Oh, really?
That is not how I introduced
okay.
it.
Okay.
Kind of close, but not really.
Kind of close, huh? Yeah, I got to give her a card, you know, so she when she recruits.
I told him the time and the date, and then I was like, and then call Mr. Eden.
Yeah.
And he'll be correct.
Right. Yeah, I was traveling yesterday, so
yeah.
I couldn't call.
She said you were going to call on Sunday, something like that.
Yeah.
So I normally like to talk to all my artists, I mean, who are going to be on the show mm-hmm. before I interview them, at least have some kind of communication,
yeah.
you know. I normally do that with everybody.
No, that's good.
Yeah, that's a good thing. to keep on doing that. But, man, we're going to take a little break.
All right.
And we're going to come on back. And we're going to be talking about some of this. Man, this is interesting to me. So, you know, anytime that I can hear sports, something of some, a sport that I don't know. Yeah, it's good. Well, we're on the Bobby Eaton Show where we tell our stories our way. We're going to be right back. So stick around. Dial the number 646-716-5525. And don't forget to rip the one button.
That's the way it was. Happened so naturally. Didn't I know it was love? The next thing I saw, holding me close. What was I gonna do? I let myself go. Now we fly through the stars. But this night will last forever. Yeah. I've been dancing for you.
Breathe.
Hey, I'm trying to get paid, take money, cash checks. You see the set, that's Lash, that's Dex. Young C, Young Shorty, Milcaveli, White Bricks, True Religion, on the telly, it's me. Wiz got the house full of freaks. That's why I haven't
been. Oh, yeah, we're back on the show. And, man, we've been talking about a lot of stuff about the soccer and stuff, right? You know, and seems interesting. Man, I want to see you play, man. You got me all you got me all pumped up and stuff, you know?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, like I said, we're at the One Oak Stadium. It's a good atmosphere, you know, bring your family.
Family.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's right downtown, so, you know, the club, they do a very good job of trying to, you know, make a very good environment for the kids and stuff like that.
Right.
And the weather's changing, so why not get out there?
And we're good, man. We win.
You get comp tickets?
Yeah, of course. I mean, all you got to do is
comp. I'm just wondering, man, you know. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's good. Well, we're going to maybe go catch you. I want to see you play.
Yeah.
Let me know. Just let us know.
Yeah.
I've never been to a soccer match, so I'll try anything once. We'll see.
So we definitely got to win. So you guys can.
You know, I've been to, I think, two soccer games before in my professional.
Okay.
Yeah, two. And
did you enjoy them?
Yeah, it was fun.
Who did you watch?
That was, let's see, down in Houston, you know, because I've been down there. The Storm?
Dynamo.
That's what it was. The Dynamo. They was in the orange.
That's right.
In, the Dynamo. That's what it was.
Houston,
I think
Dynamo.
The Storm. That was several years ago.
Okay.
Yeah. So.
Did you go by yourself? You take your boys?
No, I got a couple of complimentary tickets. And I went, and we just enjoyed ourselves. It was fun. It was sunshine. Dynamo, that's right.
Yeah.
They were brand new.
Okay.
You know, so they were passing out a lot of tickets and stuff like that, trying to get the crowds to come. And
yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they've done well lately in the last few years.
Dynamo?
Yeah, that's right.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
I couldn't think of that name for nothing. You said it. You said Dynamo.
The only you said Houston.
Houston. The orange. And brand new stadium at the time.
Yeah.
They had a brand new stadium. It was good.
Big stadium.
Yeah.
Everything's bigger in Texas.
Well, you know it. You know.
I've only been to San Antonio.
Okay.
And I liked it. It was hot.
San Antonio, that's a different animal. It's good.
Yeah,
it's warm.
By the Riverwalk there, Alamo.
Yeah, Alamo.
Yeah,
Riverwalk.
Walking around.
Exactly.
Very nice place. Yeah,
right.
Nice.
SeaWorld is there, and all of the stuff is there too.
Yeah.
I think they have probably the best Riverwalk that I've experienced.
What,
it
San
might
Antonio?
Be. I'm telling you, man.
I've been there
be.
Several times, and it's nice.
It's really nice.
You can eat out there on the Riverwalk and all that, goldfish and all that in the river. Stuff is nice.
Good food.
Yeah, good food. A lot of good food. Well, you know, San Antonio is more of a tourist type
place. People tell me always to go to Houston.
Yeah. Well, I'm telling you, I lived in Houston for 22 years.
Okay.
And a big place.
Yeah.
But it's so culturally diverse.
Yeah.
That's what I hear.
Yeah, it is, man. But it's big. Yeah. Now, if you can deal with the traffic, then, you know.
You can go to Houston.
And it's awful.
And it's awful. Yeah, it is awful.
The traffic?
Yeah.
Worse than L.A.?
Oh, man, about the same.
Really?
Yeah.
Damn.
See, L.A., you got the 405, the 101. I lived there, too, for 17 years. So I know the best of both worlds.
I think I took an Uber once from O.C., from Orange County area.
Orange County, yeah.
To LAX.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Took you forever, huh?
Like 1 hour.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the norm.
Oh, my goodness.
You know, think of some people have to, it takes them an hour to get to work and an hour to get back. That's two hours getting back and forth to work every day.
That doesn't make sense.
Mm-hmm. It's like that. Houston can be like that too. Depends on where you're at.
Mm-hmm.
Must be a good salary.
Well, it just depends on where you're at and what you're doing.
That's true.
Your cost of living's higher too. So
yeah, it is. In LA, Los Angeles, you know, it's higher than Houston, but, still costs to be the boss.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I know people who commute every day. Every day. I'm like, man.
I got a question for you Americans.
Okay.
How come you guys don't travel that much? And your idea of travel is going, maybe sometimes leaving the state if you do that, or sometimes you just go to the next nearest city.
I would say that? Because we're conditioned to be in our environment, for one, and we don't see outside of the United States. You have some, when we're talking about African Americans,
yeah,
just Americans generally.
Americans.
And, you know, we've been brainwashed here in America to think that we're just so high and so mighty and so all of this and all of that, and we haven't seen the other parts of the world.
You know what? That's the best answer.
Yeah.
And the reason I say the best answer is because that's what I've got.
Yeah. Well, because, see, until you actually can get out of America and start traveling and go to Dubai and other places and Australia and see how other people live, and some people don't have to even lock their cars up or lock their houses up or nothing, you know.
Exactly.
That's what it is.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, you won't never know.
And you get to see different things, you learn different cultures. That's,
right, culture,
now,
different food.
I love travel.
Yeah.
Every off season I try to, if not go to a different country,
yeah,
at least go to a different city, somewhere I haven't been before. I go to Australia in the off season,
mm-hmm,
and I try to travel as much as I can inside.
You know, if you can travel and see this globe right here, you'll discover some things that you've never seen or discovered before, and your mind will open up. Even some of your belief systems will change. I lived overseas over in Iraq and Dubai for 3 years, mm-hmm, out of this country. And I look back at this country, America, and I said, wow, man, I've been brainwashed about all this stuff.
Exactly. And that's what I got from this.
Yeah, I said, man, my whole thinking started changing once I moved back to the United States. I looked at a lot of things in a different light.
Yes.
And that's what it did to me.
Yeah.
I looked at religion in a different light. I looked at a lot of things that I hadn't taught mentally over here in the United States in a different light.
And I think the word you use, brainwashed and programmed, and that's the biggest thing, because I've had conversations with people out here, and they say, yeah, I mean, if I want nice weather, I'll just go to Florida, I'll go to California. I'm saying, but you're going to see the same type of people, you know?
With the same kind of mindset.
Exactly.
You got to go out of the country.
Go out of your comfort zone. Go somewhere maybe where you don't know the culture. You don't.
Yeah. And
maybe they even speak a different language than you.
And see, here's what a lot of Americans, they'll say, well, I'm going to take a cruise. I'm going to go around the Caribbean, you know, but
you're going to be with the same type of people.
That's the same type of people.
It's not the same experience.
The same type of food, same type of everything. You know, I would rather go to a country and get around the natives, the people who were born and raised there, and befriend somebody that I think I could possibly trust to hang out with, to show me some of the culture and some of the stuff that, you know, that to do.
Of course.
And because if you go on vacation, it's just vacation. You're going to be doing a lot of American stuff in a different country.
Yeah.
That's what you're going to be doing. Like you said, America, you're going to go to the beach. You're going to sit out on the beach, which you like. You could go to Florida and do. Or you can go to L.A. and do, like you said.
Yeah.
You know, San Diego or whatever. You can sit on the beach and you drink your pineapple juice or something like that. You get me?
Yeah, I get
you. You're not really learning anything culturally.
No, you're just doing it in a different place.
Yeah, you're just visually seeing something visual.
Yeah.
But you're not interacting with other cultures and learning or going on. It'd be different. You go to another country and you go over somebody's house.
Yeah.
You know,
exactly.
Go over to their crib and see how they living or something like that, you know.
Yeah. And you know, I think, you know, if we go back to culture, that's the biggest thing. For us Africans, no matter what, no matter where you, when you've left your country. So for myself, I left around 8 or 9, you know, there was a moment actually where I didn't speak my native tongue. I forgot it.
You forgot all that.
And my mom, I would speak with my mom on the phone, and she couldn't really understand me sometimes. And
because
my dad got the end of that, of course.
Uh-huh.
And I was fortunate enough, and my uncle came, and he wouldn't speak to me unless we spoke in our native tongue.
That was it, huh?
Yeah. So
you had to get it.
And
back.
When I was home, I spoke, I think, almost five different dialects, you know?
Yeah, language.
And then I moved to Canada, and, you know, English was... We spoke English in Sierra Leone.
Mm-hmm.
We also spoke French.
Mm-hmm.
And living in Canada, you know, it was tough because I wasn't always around
people to speak your language.
Exactly.
Huh?
I was, but not as much, and to learn English, and, you know, I had a very strong accent and this and that, but I picked up my language again. But the one thing, my dad did a very good job. He made sure I still kept the culture. Mm-hmm. You know, that's important. And most African, even mm-hmm. my mom, when I go home to Australia, she tries to make sure, hey, listen, we're here in Australia, but inside this house, this is where we're at, you know.
Right, we're not going to change.
You can't lose that. Exactly.
Yeah, right. You
exactly.
got to keep that. You learn how to keep it.
Yeah, of course. Of uh-huh. course.
And that's good because we're over here in the United States of America. For the most part, most of us only speak English.
Yeah.
And we don't speak any other languages.
No.
You know, unless you're Hispanic or somebody Asian and speak two or three languages, but in some countries they speak five languages, man. And
You go to Europe and everyone speaks at least two languages.
At least two.
Canada, most mm-hmm. people speak English and they speak French.
Mm-hmm.
And because it's so diverse, they speak another language.
But, you know, as African Americans here in the United States of America, we've been stripped of our language.
Mm-hmm.
That's why we don't speak it, because we don't know it.
Yeah.
It never got taught to us
mm-hmm.
coming up as children and kids. We just don't know. The only thing we've ever known is English,
mm-hmm.
unless you took it in school. And, you know, I took another language in school, learning Spanish or French or
mm-hmm.
something like that.
And that's even in that, you after
yeah.
school, you have to pursue it yourself. It's,
mm-hmm.
you know, not mandatory.
Right.
You don't hear it.
Mm-hmm. People ask me, they say, Bobby, you speak another language? I say, yeah, I speak Spanish. They say, let's just talk a little bit. I say, taco, burrito, enchilada.
Churritos.
I just was playing. But that's what, you know, I was just joking. But we don't speak other languages, which I think we should learn how to.
Yeah, I mean,
if you can, man.
What happens?
Communication is important.
What happens if you have to get up and have to leave America?
Well, it just depends on where I'd be going.
Yeah.
Because if they spoke English in another country, I'd be okay.
Right.
Yeah, but if
I had went to a country that didn't really have a lot of the natives that spoke English, then that it'd be hard. I'd have to learn the language.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We were stripped from our language on slave ships, man.
Yeah.
You know, we had that, you know, that language. We had it.
Yeah.
But we were stripped from it. They said, hey, you better not speak it. Else
yeah.
you're going to die.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's what they said. Hey, we're going to cut it short tonight. You're on the Bobby Eaton Show, where we tell our stories our way. So keep until the next time, okay? Take care.